with a chance of fall, chance of shower.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the second hour of the French Connection. I am very pleased and proud to have my next guest on. His fourth visit on the French Connection over the last year. His information is always just devastating for the most part. But powerful in that it starts letting people understand that we are, as a nation, slipping into an abyss here. And unless and until regular people start taking an active interest in how the country is falling, we're not going to be able to stop the slide. And his name is Jimmy Rothstein. He was a New York City detective for decades, and he was one of the chief investigators for many different types of crimes. But one that he has spent time on more than not is trying to protect children from being kidnapped and used as sex slaves and many other sick things. He was involved very heavily with Noreen Gosh in trying to find where Johnny has been taken to, and many other children. And I brought him in for an update to talk about some of the problems that he's been facing and some of the new revelations. Jimmy, are you with me?
Yes, I'm here, and it's always an honor and a privilege to do a show with you.
Well, you know, Jimmy, I'm one of the few people in the country who wants to regularly examine this, because you know this is as sick and low down as you can possibly get when you start using children as objects of hedonistic pleasure. This is sick and beyond anything that I can even understand as a human being.
Well, that's true, and you'd be amazed how many shows I do, and they will do one show where I come out with the information, and then it's too hot to touch or they get heat from it, and that'll be the last show I do with them.
Well, so that must tell you something. Number four with me, what's been happening? I mean, you know, this hasn't slowed down, has it? Are they using more children than ever right now under this present administration? It doesn't seem like this administration is doing anything to stop criminality in the country.
I really don't think that any administration makes a difference, because I've been through this with Democrats and Republicans. The only guy who ever did anything about it was Richard Nixon. The rest of them, I haven't heard a peep out of them. And you know what happened to Nixon? He got run out. I'm not saying that's the only reason, but there's more behind the whole Richard Nixon story with what he was trying to do.
Well, what has been happening? I know that several of these DynaCorp companies were getting caught over in the Balkan region, bringing us women and children as sex slaves around the world. DynaCorp, and I'm wondering what kind of people are they funneling around the world, and is it still a big kidnapping operation in America, or they just grab their prey where they can?
Well, in the last couple of months, everything seems to have come to a standstill, which means that the cover-up is back into effect. There really has been very little happening, and that's the big story. As you know, in the Noreen Gosh case, we had a agent come forward who fed us information exactly how the whole Jacob Wetterling, Johnny Gosh, Martin Kidd, how that went on and the work that was done on it. And just like that, everything has been shut down. So there is something very sinister going on. I haven't got my finger on it yet, but that particular operation has been totally shut down. We were supposed to have an expose come down, and so far we've got nobody that will go with it. It was a three-year investigation by a journalist I know that worked with me very, very long time, and did a tremendous job. Where John DeCamp stopped, this is where he started, and it would expose some well-known politicians and stuff, and it's at a dead still. Nobody wants to go with it.
Can we give a few hints of what politicians you're thinking about? Are there any hints out there?
Yes, there's some, which was getting back to, it had to do with Richard Thornburg and probably Bill Cohen and a number of other people like that. I don't want to give out too much because it would blow the story.
Okay.
And the guy worked very hard on it, but if there's anybody in the audience who has access to somebody that would like to go with a well-documented. I mean, there's no stone left unturned, and everything is so well-documented that it would just be devastating to a lot of powerful politicians.
Well, I've known for a long time that this is one of the ways that these people find their jollies. And I've also understood that in the child sex and pornography and child trafficking and women trafficking, there has been an overrepresentation of a certain group of people. And putting your finger on them has been quashed in many ways, especially in the New York region. You told me early on in some of our other conversations that this guy Morgenthau could have put an end to most of it in the country with just an approval of your investigation, and instead he swept it under the rug and turned a blind eye to it, and instead it flourished. And are we still in that same kind of pattern?
Well, certainly. He's back and still in power. They had a lady run against him. I called her and offered her some information, but they never called back. So I guess that was an item that couldn't be touched. And she had worked some of the cases I had worked as an attorney, district attorney at the time when Hogan was a district attorney, and she wouldn't go with it, so I guess it was too heavy to go with, so that fell on deaf ears.
Now, do these children get trafficked around and held in basements, or are they held in people's homes? I mean, what do they do with these kids?
They're held in basements. They're held in some of the most beautiful apartments, housing all over the world. Some of them live a tremendous life. They are held, you know, if you can call being a sex slave a good life, but their surroundings are tremendous, and a lot of them adapt to it and then become abusers themselves as they get older. And some of them live in total hell. They're beat. Years ago, one of their favorite things was they'd take coat hangers and heat them up and beat them with that and whatever you can possibly imagine they did with them. And that was one of the real punishments that they delivered to these kids and girls that were being abused.
Well, you know, this stuff, it transcends just America. This is a worldwide phenomenon in many cases, isn't it?
But right now, if we concentrated just on what was happening in America, either in or out, would be probably one of the biggest stops we could put to it, because the Americans are big customers of this, and They're doing a lot of work, but you have to remember with computers now, it's so much easier to put the market out. You can get on the internet and pick out what you want, and you fly out or bring them in, whatever you want. It can be arranged.
And who are doing the arranging of this? This goes back to Zionism, I believe, in some instances, doesn't it?
It goes across everything I've ever run across. You can find it in the Asian, you can find it in the European, you can find it in every subculture there is, you know, everything that you can think of. It's just infiltrated everything.
This is slavery we're talking about. These are children we're talking about, Jimmy. I can't wrap my brain around this.
Well,
it's beyond anything that my stomach or my morality would even allow me to consider, and yet this is the status quo for some people. How do these people get to where they are doing this? How do they do this?
It's a total decadence, depraved society, and the problem is the good people don't even want to hear about it. Don't tell me about this. I don't want to know it is the classic answer I get when I go to people and ask them for help.
Well, you've got an ally here in me. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we've got more from Jimmy Rothstein, and I'm going to try to get a few more hints about who we can turn our attention toward when we return on The French Connection. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're in for our second segment with my guest today, Jimmy Rothstein, a retired detective from New York City Police Department, and since his retirement, become a mayor of a small community up in Minnesota, as well as continue to be an investigator to try to help families who've had children taken. Jimmy, these kids, when they are, it seems to me many of our politicians are raised up in the ranks of their parties based upon their compromised structure or the compromised nature. In other words, they want people they can control. So what do? They get these people, test them out with children or something, and then hold this over them throughout their careers. Is that a possibility?
Yes, I have definitely seen cases like that. And one other thing that's very interesting, we have a good example of that with the Watergate break-in.
Yeah.
We've talked about it before, but I think it should be mentioned again because there's going to be things breaking that will coincide with this and let people know that this hasn't stopped. In fact, it's being used in progress right now. Like in a Watergate break-in, the actual break-in was to get the pedophile book. See, they keep books where they list their customers and the children they have available, and they describe them. They describe what the customers want, such as, does the customer want a kid with blonde hair, red hair, what size, and all kinds of things like that. And when the break-in happened, that thing coincided with the prostitution ring that was being run out of the Democratic National Headquarters. And when you have those books, you have complete control over the people in them. And if let's just say that you had the Secretary of Defense, you had a politician on the Defense Department, you know, budget and all that stuff, well, you can control whatever you want. And some of these people I have seen through the years, politicians that I personally face-to-face confronted, very powerful people. And another example of this is when you had Admiral Forrestal, when he went out and took a swan dive, it was because he was being extorted by some people that I knew, Red Mullins, Eddie Skull Murphy, and some other people, and the only way out for him was to commit suicide. And see, that's another part that comes in here. If you have this information, you have power. So it behooves some people just to get these kids out there for a bigger gain than just the prostitution end of it.
Well, I mean, and is that often the, I mean, look at AIPAC. They're the biggest group in the country influencing our politicians. And, of course, we know AIPAC uses any means necessary or available to get what they want done. And I'm wondering how important they've been over time, because their community of AIPAC is very powerful in the Central Valley of California in pornography, and they've all actually been caught and involved in sex slavery. So what I'm saying is this one of their main control mechanisms?
Well, I don't know them particularly, but it wouldn't be out of the question that that's what they do. Because in California, there have been many cases of things. You've got Grove there, what do they call it yet, Bohemian Grove.
Mm-hmm.
You've got different things that were being run out of all over California, from the north to the south end. California was just rife with this stuff, and it hasn't changed.
I still sit here. I still can't get my brain around it. I can't. If I live to be 150, I won't ever be able to understand it, Jimmy.
I've been working this stuff for almost 40 years now. I still cannot figure out how anybody would get into this. And I've seen it from people that I would never have suspected were involved. It seems like, and it was explained to me by one of them, that once you've had everything, you've had all the women you want, you've had this, you've got money, you can do anything you want, well, then they go to the kids. And it's as simple as that. They get in on these parties, and a lot of them are set up for it. I had a priest right here in my area. The poor man just died in a car accident, but he was set up by a kid, and the kid was underage. He was 17, in fact, a week short of his birthday, and he set this priest up. Now, they say, oh, a young guy like that can't be responsible. Baloney. They compromised this priest purposely, and the thing is, he knew too much and was talking about it. And so he ended up being classified as a pedophile, and basically, and what that does is discredits him so he can't testify or have credibility. And you're going to find that is very, very common.
Well, you know, the bottom line is I understand from people that I've discussed this same subject with, including John DeCamp, that they are willing to take any steps necessary to silence certain people with new information. Sharing this information, if it's not new, is not terribly dangerous to them, but rather, if you've come up with maybe like Rusty did, Rusty Nelson, or something else starts leaking out into the mainstream that's new, boy, they will come out with some powerful forces, won't they?
Yes, they will. And they, what normally happens, just as the intelligence guy that came forward on the Johnny Gosch case, is now in prison because they had to discredit what he was saying, which was the whole explanation of how Johnny Gosch, the Martin Boy, Jacob Wetterling, and all these kids were kidnapped. And he basically told me the whole story. And now that he's been discredited, whatever he says will mean nothing. This guy actually appeared with Grassley and Senator Arlen Specter and all of them. So he must have had credibility. They dealt with him for years.
Well, now, do we have any other hints about who else is up in these, is compromised in our political structure?
Well,
you don't have to give, you can give state names. Give me some states. Give me some.
You've got Massachusetts. You've
Barney Boy, Barney Frank.
Oh, yes, yes. There's a classic example. And you, and people still vote him in. Does that show you the mentality? It's well known. He has admitted to it. But yet they vote him back in. And why can't these people see that the children that are being hurt are beyond repair? You know, these kids are finished forever. The only thing that can happen to them is that they become perpetrators themselves, which happens many, many times.
And how do they do that? I mean, these kids have no skills. What do they end up doing when they leave this mess?
They can't. That's why they continue in it. And then they begin using kids to sell them and trade them. And, I mean, I actually had guys, one guy had a Winnebago, and Willie Dunn, and he traveled the United States buying, selling, and kidnapping kids, and he did that for 20 years that I know of. And every time I put him in jail, somebody would let him out. So you know that there are controlled people out there buying, selling, and kidnapping kids. They're controlled. And how that works is if you're in law enforcement, you have a guy like that, and he's going out. Well, you're going to sacrifice a bunch of kids so you can get the information on who they're going to so you can go and put the hammer on them. That's a common practice. But how far do you let that go?
You know something, Jimmy? We're in a very, very dark period of human history where America's turning into a country that I wouldn't have ever recognized if you had told me this just 15, 20 years ago. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to talk to Jimmy about where he thinks America is going and just how compromised our nation has become when we continue on The French Connection. And ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Daryl Bradford Smith, your host on The French Connection today. IamTheWitness.com is the website. We're speaking to investigator Jimmy Rothstein. And Jimmy, I got a question for you. Is this primarily a male participated thing, or are there like husband and wives with children at home doing this stuff? Is this like husband and wife going on a Friday night to go do this kind of horrible thing to children? Or I don't get how this even can come down on the world. I don't
heard of cases of that. I personally investigated a couple of them, but the biggest thing is it's not just boys; it's girls too, and it's not just children. It goes back up into a higher age, you know, 20s and stuff like that. And everybody says, oh, these prostitutes, both male and female, they're doing it willingly. I don't believe that. I have never seen a prostitute or a male prostitute, when you really got down to it, that enjoyed what they were doing. They all felt that they were forced to do what they had to do to survive. And this gets very deep in the control, the psychological control people have over them. And these people that have the control know exactly how to handle these kids by threats, some of them is physical beatings, torture, whatever they have to do to survive. The problem is these victims have no place to go. You go to the average police department and tell them you're this, they'll throw you out on your butt and tell you, don't bother us with this. You got into this, and I'll take care of it yourself. You'd be amazed how law enforcement looks at this as just something that, well, is going on, there's nothing we can do. And there's a reason for it. I believe that law enforcement, as I know at my time, we were fighting a lot of people in the police department to continue doing what we were doing. A lot of them didn't want us out there investigating this particular crime.
Why, though? Because they're involved, or?
Yeah. And, you know, what used to happen is hookers or whatever take their money, have sex with them, and that type of thing. That's the way it usually went. And I can remember a number of police officers that we caught with hookers. They'd come in and do their thing and take their money or expect a freebie, and that was it. And you'd be amazed how rampant that was. And it goes that way all over the country.
Good gravy. Well, you know, there are people who are claiming to be spokespeople for the victims, such as Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips, and I've had them on my show, and I felt like he was trying to micromanage my ability to get to the truth in my conversations with him. What's your take on that mess?
I believe that you hit the nail on the head. I know who they are. In fact, Mark Phillips at one point said that I was a spokesperson or a front for the federal agencies, that I told them there was no such thing as satanic ritualistic killings, which is the exact opposite of what happened. And that's why when a guy says that, you know he has an ulterior motive, because if it hadn't have been for what I said, the Matamoros case would have gone, that was in Mexico where they killed this college kids a number of years ago, where because of information I had given out, they were able to find that this was a satanic ritualistic killing. And
which they've vehemently denied even existed for a long time.
Right. They, up to that point, they had denied Ken Lanning in particular, and now I hear him speaking sometimes where he talks about it. But in those days, the FBI vehemently denied that there was anything like satanic or ritualistic killing.
And are they killing children for ritual purposes?
Well, yes. I remember when I was up in the state of Maine, two priests up there came to me where one of their parishioners had come, her young daughter, they were going to sacrifice her young child. I think the child was like 9 months old at the time. So, yes, it does happen. And it, how many, I don't know, because that is secretive. But you could crack it. It wouldn't be hard at all. The way this thing should be done is you'd have to get some people who know what they're doing and aren't put in there to cover up. And you would need a federal grand jury with authority to go across the country and bring people up in front of the grand jury and start a grand jury investigation to find out why. Number one, why this has been allowed to happen, which I guarantee you law enforcement would have a black eye that would be so bad that that you couldn't even see it anymore.
Well, here's the other thing, Jimmy, that I've actually discovered, too. I mean, the facts are is that the country is in a decline right now. It's a terrible thing. I mean, this administration has raped the public purse, and the nation is spiraling into a tyrannical situation. I can't see that that is going to be a benefit to this truth. I think it's probably going to make this problem get bigger. What's your take?
Yes, that's true, but we have another problem is our Civil Liberties Union, the do-gooders. I always use a parallel to it that back in the late 60s or early 60s, they had the homeless and the what we called the bums at the time, and we used to arrest them in the winter and make sure that they stayed healthy and this. So the Civil Liberty Union came in and stopped us from arresting these people and getting them help. The next winter, half the people died. So all these good libertarians or whatever you want to call them, did a great deed by stopping these guys from being arrested and getting help to having them all die.
And I think you meant liberals, because libertarians are the opposite of that.
Sorry about liberals.
Well, because I'm a libertarian.
No, liberals.
Yeah. You know, Jimmy, here it is now. We're in the year 2006, and most people listening to this programming would have thought that this would have been something we could have passed out of our human family, and yet I see it rising. I see it getting worse, like I said, And if the country does fall into economic despair, do you see that this is going to be an expanding situation?
It don't even have to fall in despair. It's going to keep growing till somebody decides to stop it. And nobody in this country right now is trying to stop this or even slow it down. So it's going to go on its own. It's just going to grow and grow till the people, the good people, decide that this is going to stop. And as Harold Laswell once said, that till the women decide that their children are done being used and make their men do what they're supposed to do to protect their children, there's nothing we as law enforcement or as guys who are working this can get everything done.
That's right. That's right.
This is that case. Yeah, you go to the average citizen, like you do all these shows and stuff. How many people call in and say, hey, can you tell me more about what's going on here so I can help? I'll bet you it don't happen.
Yeah.
I do hundreds of shows. There has never been a U.S. attorney, a sheriff, a police chief, anybody connected to any type of law enforcement that has called and said, hey, let me know what to do and I'll take this on. Now, isn't that right there is where the problem is?
Well, it seems like it to me. And I mean, you spent decades in the police department of New York, and you know firsthand that this is going to be a problem. We have to deal with it at some point. And I got news for you, Jimmy. I don't see anything in America getting better. I know you've got other things you need to go do, Jimmy. And I appreciate you. I appreciate you coming on the show, and I will talk to you soon, my friend.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks, bye. Jimmy. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with more from The French Connection. And, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. We're another long segment here. Jimmy Rothstein has left for his other engagement, and I got to tell you, wow, you know. Phone lines are open for the rest of the show. It's 1-800-259-5791. Talk about anything you want, from A to Z and beyond. This subject matter and the things that go on in this world, you know, what happened to the goodness? I mean, you know, I gotta be honest with you, we've always had depravity, we've always had underreporting of people doing things, but in this modern world, with the fast high speed connections we've got and all of the communications we've got and all of the abilities to blog and for people to network, can't we start getting rid of these sicknesses from our societies? I mean, can't we begin to find ways of solving these horrendous issues? I mean, talking about this stuff for me every day it's brutal on me. I mean, come on, guys, this is just some disgusting stuff. Yet, it flourishes. It flourishes because people don't want to stand up and be counted. They don't want, and then I think it also flourishes because the moral compass of the nation has been destroyed. And it's been destroyed by design. You know, I've had people say that don't give the Zionists too much credit for doing it because it gives them too much power, but I got to be honest with you, you know, when you control the media and every year you try to outdo you the year before with something more depraved on this incredible medium called television, they have to be blamed. I mean, and that's because that's where the depravity is coming from. I mean, you know, you look at each year, I mean, they introduce a sickness 10 years ago and today it's commonplace. You know, what's going to be next? Are they going to introduce, you know, incest or bestiality or child sex? Or what are they going to put in out there as a shocker this year that becomes commonplace 5 years from now? I mean, we need to ask ourselves, where do we stop the slide? Where do we say enough's enough? And the problem is nobody ever seems to stand up en masse and take a stand against these things, or stop the people responsible for propagating these sicknesses on us. And I wonder if we need a do-over completely. I mean, that's, you know, I often joke about, you know, taking some of these Twinkie people and, you know, the monosodium glutamated fluoride-brained aspartame-soaked Twinkie imbeciles who don't know left from right or up from down, and just, you know, hoping that they just float off into history and we need a do-over. I don't know what we're going to do, but if we don't intercede in the slide now, first of all, we're going to lose any semblances of freedom. We're going to lose morality to the point where the country just has none at all. And I'm not, you know, being a libertarian, I'm not crazy about regulating people's decision-making. However, when it comes to children and it comes to, you know, some things, we just have to make a line in the sand. We have to say these are points with which we will never pass over. And fact is, we need to stand up as a group and say this is beyond anything we're willing to accept. And, of course, anybody is going to tell you on the face of it, sure, that's how I feel, but yet that's not what's being done. So do they really want that? Or are we living the life that the people clandestinely wish us to have? It makes me wonder sometimes. I mean, this show like Will and Grace, for example. You know, we laugh at this toilet humor from these people promoting gay sex and gay marriage and gay this and gay that. And now that's fine if you're gay and everything, but you know, we've looked at gay experience over the millennia, and it's only ever been a 10% of our population. And I believe that 10% should have equal access to all things as all people should. But what we're doing now is we're trying to promote it past that 10% point and say that this is the lifestyle you should be choosing. And we're placing it out there as a first choice. That's not normal. This is not biologically normal or even something that we should be holding up as a norm. It's just, it's not normal behavior. It certainly shouldn't be punished by anyone. No one should be punished for this because people who are born gay, I believe, are gay by birth and they should have equal access to protections under the law. But that's the minority. That's a 10% group and they should be protected as 10%, not promoted into being the majority. That is not a moral compass that I think is a viable one or even a rational one or even a moral one. And those are just my opinions, guys, but I got to tell you, I think they're rational opinions in my view. And again, this is not being homophobic because, geez, you know, I went to school in Greenwich Village, New York, and I got to be honest with you, I have lots of people I've come in contact with, known as friends and stuff, that are in the gay community. They are hardworking, conscientious humans. They're not sick deviants, these folks, as far as I ever knew. And fact is, but they're certainly not to be promoted into the majority. Not my, in my opinion, that's not a good idea for any society. Ladies and gentlemen, when we return, the French Connection will be closing out this show, hopefully with some interesting comments. Stay tuned. And ladies and gentlemen, isn't that wonderful stuff? Boy, oh boy, oh boy, I could have just let that play till the end of the show. But you know, we've got a caller on the line. Bertrand from Canada, you're on the air. What's up? What's your question?
Yes, sir. How you doing? I'm the first-time caller.
Well, I'm glad you're calling. What's on your mind today?
Your name's Daryl Bradford, right?
It sure is.
Yes, sir. Well, I admire your courage and what you're doing, and I believe a lot of what you're talking about. You know, I believe there is a Zionist conspiracy. But you said a couple of interesting things. I just like from my research, I believe the conspiracy goes much higher.
I don't think you get any higher than the people in control of the Zionist camp.
Well, that's the key is who is in control of the camp, because there is a king. And you mentioned that, and I hope you give me time to express my view.
Sure, go ahead, go.
You mentioned that you were raised in a Catholic school.
Well, I went to Catholic school, yeah.
You went to Catholic school, and you were educated by Jesuits?
Scholastic Jesuits, yeah.
Yeah. I just find that interesting because from my research, the Illuminati was a Jesuit institution. It was created. It was created and infiltrated by a Jesuit German by the name of Adam Weishaupt.
He was actually put up to that by the Rothschilds, and in fact, the Illuminati is a controlled organ of the Rothschild group, and so is Masonry.
Yeah.
And both of those groups have been bought and paid for many, many centuries.
See, I believe that, you know, Jesuitism has created the true Zionism in the world, and the high ranking. See, it's a Luciferian culture.
There's no evidence of that, though. There's no evidence that Jesuits are behind any of it. I mean, I've looked into the evidence, and it's not there.
Have you read the book that's been taken out of every library of the world? It's been completely suppressed. It was written by a Catholic nun. They tried to expose the Jesuit conspiracy, and the book was entitled The Black Pope. Have you read that book? Because it can't be found.
Who wrote the book?
Pardon me?
Who wrote it?
It was written by the nun of Kenmare. I believe her title was, and she was tortured in dungeons, and she tried to expose the conspiracy. And it's also stated and quoted in a guy by the name of Eric John Phelps. I don't know if you know his name.
I've heard of Eric John Phelps. What I've been able to glean here, and let me interject for a moment. The facts that I've been able to see here are that I know. I'm not Catholic. I went to the Jesuit school because they had a very good education, and they were putting out some of the best students in my state, and that's why I went to the school. The fact was that most of these men were in their late 80s and 90s, and there are very few Jesuits left alive right now. That's what I've been able to see with my research. However, this is the end of the show. You're welcome to call in tomorrow if you'd like, and we can continue the conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, it was great to have you with me here on the French Connection today. I appreciate your time and your efforts, and keep safe and keep working.